Acorn to Oak, a tree podcast rooted in real stories and growing knowledge from soil to canopy. Welcome back to Acorn to Oak, the podcast where we dig into the science, stories, and practical knowledge behind healthy trees. I'm your host, Stephanie Boucher, and today we're talking about something that often gets overlooked in tree care, soil testing. When trees struggle, a lot of people jump straight to fertilizers or treatments. But without understanding what's actually happening in the soil, those solutions can end up being a guess rather than a plan. So today, we're going to talk about why soil testing matters, what we are looking for in a soil test, how the testing process works, and how those results help arborists make better decisions for tree health. To help us dig into the topic, I'm joined by ISA-certified arborist Jerry White, who will walk us through how soil health influences tree health and why testing is one of the most important tools in responsible tree care. Let's get into it. It's good to have you here, Jerry. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, thank you. It's great to be here. And yeah, so I have been in the landscape and the tree industry for quite a few years, both out in the West in California, Oregon, and then here in Indiana. I really love working around trees, but my passion is really around improving tree health by improving soil health.
From a plant healthcare perspective, what does soil testing tell you that you simply can't determine just by looking at the tree?
Well, the soil really is the foundation for tree growth. And within the soil, you know, we really can't see what it looks like beneath the soil. And obviously, we have a lot of nutrients. We have, you know, soil microbes in the soil that we just don't see. We don't pay attention. We're looking typically at how green a tree is, how it's growing. We might see problems that way, but oftentimes the foundation of those problems starts in the soil.
What is soil testing, and what is it going to show you?
Well, in the way I do soil testing is looking very comprehensively. We do want to understand, you know, the soil nutrients and what's there, what is in deficient amounts, and what's in excess amounts. Mm-hmm. But there's other characteristics of the soil that are important for us to understand and to modify as needed in order to enhance tree growth, to reduce, to improve their ability to grow. So things like soil texture, we're going to look at the pH of the soil, we're going to look at the salt content, the salinity levels, and then we're also going to focus on soil biology. It's a really mm-hmm. key part of soil health that oftentimes gets overlooked. And we have some tools now that can help us measure what's going on in the soil from that standpoint as well.
I was reading last night about, before you get into like all the tools in soil testing, mm-hmm. the simple soil testing of getting a couple tablespoons into your hand, wetting it, and like rolling it up, and then rolling it out into like a ribbon. Is that a method you ever use? Or
I have used that, mm-hmm. you know, in the past. And that's actually kind of measuring soil texture, mm-hmm. which is the balance of clay, silt, and sand in the soil.
Yeah.
It's really important. I can grow plants in any soil texture type, mm-hmm. but there's a sweet spot in soil texture that helps those plants to get the nutrients, to have the airspace, and all the factors needed for that tree to grow.
Okay.
So I do that, but we also, when we send the sample off, I just actually have the lab do that. They're
okay.
more scientific about
yeah.
texture.
Yeah. So. And then, so you're using the soil test to look more into the structure of the soil?
That's one of the many
okay,
factors.
Okay, one. You said yeah. texture is something else they do as well.
Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit about what it looks like if I called you over to my house and I had a tree that I just wasn't happy with its health? What would it look like if you presented a soil testing to my property? Like, what would that look like?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start by just doing an examination of the tree itself, mm-hmm. Seeing, like, are there surface roots? Mm-hmm. Are there decay issues around the crown of the tree? I just want to see some things like that. We will probably expect to find maybe some tree dieback, leaf color. So we're looking at those kind of visual clues from the start. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also going to typically do a measurement of soil compaction. We have a tool that will help us do that. And I'll collect some samples of the soil itself, and that helps me see kind of what's going on there. A lot of surface roots underneath the ground, just right below the below the surface. You know, is it wet? Is it dry? So we'll collect some of that. I do want to identify whether or not there's mulch already around the tree. If we're doing a tree, if we're doing soil testing for lawns, I'll actually measure the rooting depth of the lawn itself. And then when we talk about that compaction, we're actually trying to measure how deep we get to a point of what I would say it's 300 PSI is the compaction level at which roots really can't grow through.
Okay.
So when you're building a house or putting a foundation down, getting highly compacted soil is really important for stability.
Yeah.
But it also impacts tree growth. And that's why one of the problems we have with newer plantings is the soil has been compacted all the way around a building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to loosen that up. And we can actually identify that. We have tools that help us tell you at what point in your soil, how deep is that 300 PSI compaction level.
So it's hurting like the root penetration, or what exactly are all the things that compaction can do to harm a plant or tree?
Yeah, so certainly root penetration, the ability of water and nutrients to get down. Obviously, you know, you want with trees, you want deeper root systems for stability of the tree, safety and structure. And so, you know, that's a key part. You'll find oftentimes that compaction level is mostly impacting the depth at which the feeder roots can go.
Okay.
And so what happens when you have this compacted soil down, let's say 4, 5, 6 inches, once you get below that level, you don't have the ability of the plant to take up any nutrients or any water.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned surface roots. I know we've all seen those like roots growing in your lawn. Like, what is the issue with surface roots, and what are you looking for on treatment with that?
Well, so roots grow where the water is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have compacted soil and the water can't penetrate, the roots are going to grow at the surface.
Oh, okay, so they're tied together.
They're tied together, yes.
All right.
If you have a lawn that you water 15 minutes every day, the tree roots are going to grow in that area.
Oh, okay.
So when we identify that compaction as an issue, we can do some things to decompact the soil. We'll do some other things to fix some of the soil structure, but we want to then also encourage you to water more deeply.
Okay.
And less often, to encourage deeper root system.
Okay, that makes sense. So we have evaluated the site. What do we do next?
So we're going to collect a sample of the soil. We have a methodology of doing that to get soil from different parts of the area that we're inspecting. And then we'll actually bag it up. We'll record information about what we found and then send that off to a soils lab. We also do a secondary test that we do in-house. And that's looking at the soil biology. And specifically, we're trying to identify relative quantity at the present time, and then also what we will call a fungal bacterial balance.
Okay. Is there a better time of year that someone should have their soil tested?
You can do it pretty much any time of the year. Ideally, during the growing seasons is probably going to give us the most accuracy. But a lot of the measurements we take, we can give you directions based upon what we get during that time of the year.
Okay, so we have the soil samples. You've taken them, sent them away. Once they're all packed up, sent off, how long do we typically wait before we see the results?
It's going to take anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks to get them back, depending on how busy the lab is. But we usually tell people 2 weeks, at most 3, and they will have some results back.
Okay, we got the results back. What's next?
So I actually take the information from the lab itself and put, and then plus the work that we did, and I put that on a separate sort of presentation sheet. And what you find and what makes soil testing and discussions around soil so difficult is that it's very complex what goes on. So my goal has been to try and simplify that information to a way that's understandable to the homeowner. So I take a sheet, I break it down into 4 kind of major components, and then I show, like, here's your results, here's what we hope for, And then I kind of have this little box that's got red, green, or yellow based upon whether or not this is serious to deal with. It's red. Green is good. Yellow is kind of marginal. We may address it. We may just monitor it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that we can impact and change, we want to identify those and then obviously focus on the things that are the most off of what we want.
Yeah. And then I assume from that sheet, then you would offer like a treatment plan.
That's correct.
For the client.
Yeah. We can then from that, we'll present that to someone oftentimes over a medium like Zoom,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can go in the field to them, but usually Zoom is easy. Walk through, show them what to do, and then we'll give them some steps.
Okay.
And there's most often there's some remediation types of things, and especially work that we want to do in the soil if we've identified that it's compacted, if it's missing some nutrients that don't move in the soil. We try and use what we call air tilling, which is a specialized way of being able to decompact that soil mm-hmm. through high pressure air volume, gentle on the root system. As opposed to, you know, digging or with a shovel or using some kind of a drill method, that sort of thing. So we're able to get some physical granular types of nutrients in the ground if they're needed. We'll do some biostimulation if that's needed, which it typically is in our soils. And then if we have, I'm a big believer in a product called Biochar. It's a whole nother topic that we can have. oftentimes I'm recommending that because that does a lot to help us manage the changes that need to happen in the soil.
Okay. So once you start a treatment, I assume you're going to have to come back and test the soil again at a certain time. What's that timeline look like?
We'll do some recommendations for retesting. A lot of times when we're doing sort of the nutrient balances and things like that, it'll be 18 months to 2 years before okay. I want to come back. The other part about this too, just to kind of maybe come back to that previous question, one of the measurements we take is something that's called cation exchange capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ability of the soil to make changes. And a
okay.
lower cation exchange capacity means that we need to move slower in the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain characteristics of the soil that make it lower, if mm-hmm. you will, and then other characteristics in the soil that where the cation exchange capacity is naturally higher. I call that, it's kind of like the engine,
okay.
right? You can have a big truck, but you have a small engine.
Mm-hmm.
You can move things, but you have to have less in the truck to move because the engine can't support it,
okay.
right? So when you have a lower CEC, we might be making more changes over time.
Okay.
And it might take us as much as 2 years to get everything in the soil.
Okay.
Then we'd wait 6 months to a year after that to let all the other processes in the soil
mm-hmm.
Have effect, and then we'll measure. I mentioned before that we measure soil biology as well separately,
mm-hmm.
and that's a key component to everything we're doing, and it's very much like a canary in the coal mine concept. When the other parts of the soil we've been testing aren't where they should be, usually it shows up as your soil biology not being very active.
Okay.
So we've got some quantitative measures we can do at the very beginning. And then that's something that maybe 6 months or a year from now, we could measure again. And it'll actually give us a very good idea if we're improving the things the way we think we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a corresponding result in increased soil biology.
What are some of those measures that you typically take?
The first one that we do is we're actually measuring, and it's in micrograms,
mm-hmm.
but it's a test that measures the relative quantity. And when we talk about soil biology, we talk about fungal and bacterial.
Mm-hmm.
These are the soil good guys, right? They're
okay.
not the pathogens in the soil. It's measuring the good biology, the good bacteria, the good fungal matter. So we're measuring relative quantity. And then we're also measuring the balance between the good guy fungi
mm-hmm.
and the good guy bacteria.
Yeah.
Trees like a 3-to-1 ratio of fungal to bacterial, and grasses actually like it the opposite. They like a what we call a bacterial dominant soil.
Mm-hmm.
I found most of our soils oftentimes are bacterial balanced or bacterial dominant. And so it's finding ways to stimulate that the good guy fungi, if you will. Mm-hmm. For trees, that's mycorrhizae that we want. A lot of folks will come in and say, well, we have a tree, it's struggling, we'll add mycorrhizae. And I say, well, time out. If it's struggling and the mycorrhizae can't survive very well, why do I add more?
Yeah.
I want to make an environment for the mycorrhizae to thrive. And then oftentimes there's enough there where we'll see them actually just flourish.
Okay. Nice.
The other measurement that we do, coming back to that, is a part of the soil lab will do what's called a CO2 burst. And that's simply measuring respiration of the soil biology. So the lab will take in, they'll measure for 24 hours, and they'll determine how active that soil biology is. So we can measure quantity, we can measure ratio, we can measure activity. And those things tell us a lot more about the soil going on than we would if we just went to get chemical diagnosis.
Okay. So we've obviously been talking about all the benefits of having your soil tested. Mm-hmm. If we were to summarize it before we close, why does soil testing matter overall, especially in our urban environments?
That's a great question, Stephanie. And it really, actually, a much longer discussion.
But
to really simplify that, most of the time...
Feel free to go long.
Well, we'll go a little deeper then, I guess.
So
what really prompted me to consider this and to spend the time I have over the years in soil health and measuring the soil is watching the construction practices over time and seeing coming into new housing developments and seeing things not thrive, looking around at nature and saying, gosh, you know, when you go into the forest, we see this natural cycle. We see trees that are healthy. And what's up with that? Right. Mm-hmm. And so obviously in a forest environment, you have all of the processes going on. You have a natural recycling of nutrients through the leaves. You have the forest floor that has the organic matter breaking down, releasing humic substances that stimulate the soil biology. And so all of those chemical, biological, physical reactions are going on naturally.
Yeah.
And as long as there's not outside stresses of weather, like long-term droughts or things like that, that process works very, very well. We come in and we, especially in today's, you know, in the past 30, 40 years, we want to construct a house. It's on old farmland that's been beaten up. We take off the rest of the topsoil. We really compact what's down there below that. And we may or may not try and put some of that topsoil back on. We try and plant in really poor soil. And so our trees and shrubs really need a lot of work. And we found rather than just... I think the answers in the past have been just, well, fertilize it.
Yeah.
And we want to stop and say, I don't think that makes the best long-term sense.
Right.
So I'm a believer of long-term tree health and the importance of large trees in the environment giving back. It's been, there's studies that I read about years ago that showed that when you plant a new tree, it doesn't really give back to the environment for at least 12 years.
Yeah.
But what happens is that tree ages. It the benefit back to the environment increases geometrically.
Yeah.
So a 60, a 70, a 90-year-old tree gives back to the environment far more than a 20-year-old tree does.
Okay.
And we're used to like, oh, that tree's bad. We'll just take it out, put a new one in.
Yeah.
We're actually going behind environmentally.
Yeah.
We want to take those trees that aren't, that we have in the environment, that are maturing, that are maybe struggling as they've grown. And we want to try and get a better home for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Urban soils can be pretty challenging. I landscaped in my past, and on more than one occasion, the amount of gravel you can find in soil, just from, you were talking about home builds and stuff like that, it can be difficult to establish a, you know, a healthy planting site for trees or shrubs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so we'll almost always make recommendations around, okay, we've got, you know, this work that we're doing right now, but then we also want to add some things in. We want to talk about maintaining proper soil moisture. We want to be adding, you know, wood chips on top or a mulch type material to help mimic sort of that natural environment better. When we actually get those nutrients in balance, which is really a key thing, it's not just adding something that's missing. It's actually balancing nutrients correctly, feeding on what I call a buffet effect, which is basically making what we know they need available to them, mm-hmm. And letting them sort of decide. But then we're also going to continue some recommendations ongoing with biostimulation. We want to encourage that soul biology that we've made thriving.
Yeah.
We want to encourage them to continue to grow. And what they need is oftentimes very different than what a plant needs.
Yeah.
They're going to feed off of carbon sources. And so mm-hmm. we have different types of carbon sources that we can give them mm-hmm. And help maintain that. They do most of the work in the soil.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if I were to compare doing soil testing and then the treatments that you bring to the table afterwards in comparison with a human, it would be, without doing that and just throwing fertilizer down, would be like self-medicating some way without knowing what your true symptoms were. Whereas going to the doctor, finding out you have this or this, and this is the prescription I recommend, like that's kind of the difference between the two if you put it in a human
I think that's a very good human
knowing what you're treating analogy. And not just assuming, you know.
If I've got a stomach problem or something and I go mm-hmm. to the doctor and say, hey, I've read about this drug, can you make a prescription for me? Mm-hmm. If he's a, you know, qualified doctor, he's not going to just give you that prescription. He's going to say, well, let's do some testing first. Let's identify.
Yeah.
And if they're a holistic type doctor, they're actually going to start looking at, well, there are some things we can do to help improve your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Eating properly, you know, if you go to a fast food restaurant every day and have that food, it's not really helping your soil mm-hmm. biome, right?
Yeah. So those are the amendments.
Those are the amendments. If you just put the salt-based fertilizers down, you know, you actually destroy that soil biology. And there's mm-hmm. been, you know, studies done on that. But if you're feeding it naturally, if mm-hmm. you're doing the kinds of things it needs, it's the same thing as maintaining your stomach biome, right? And so if you've studied that, you know what steps are involved there. It's very, very similar.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jerry. This is a fun conversation and... Yeah, I'm sure we'll have you back on.
I'd love to be back on. We've got a lot more things to talk about,
yeah,
for sure. But thanks. I appreciate you inviting me. It's an honor to be here, Stephanie.
Great. Have a good day.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for listening to our conversation today on soil testing and soil health. A big thank you to ISA certified arborist Jerry White for helping us understand why looking below the surface is so important when it comes to caring for trees. Healthy trees start with healthy soil, and soil testing gives arborists the information they need to make smart, targeted decisions instead of guessing at solutions. If you enjoyed this episode of Acorn to Oak, be sure to follow the podcast and share it with someone who loves learning about trees. I'm Stephanie Boucher, and until next time, remember that sometimes the most important part of a tree is the part you can't see. Thanks for listening to Acorn to Oak. If you enjoyed today's story or learned something new, join us next time as we keep growing tree knowledge from acorn to oak.